all. First Genesis, second Exodus, third Leviticus, fourth Numbers, and the fifth is Deuteronomy, the last of them all. Folks on the very back, move on up here. Move on up here. All of you back behind the pews, just come right on up. We've all got to get up and move, okay? Every night, man, it's been so great to have everybody getting up and moving. So guys, come on and move on up to the front. Got to be a part of the class. Everybody in the back, everybody behind Jeff, get up and move, okay? You want me to call you by name? Okay? Everybody move on up to the front. You cannot have this class with folks scattered, okay? So just come on and move on up and move over to this way. Don't want to be mean, but we got to have a good class tonight. If I ask you how many books there are in the Bible, you know?
66.
How many books in the Old Testament? 39. How many books in the New Testament? 27. How many men wrote the Bible? 40. About how many years did it take to write the Bible? All right. That's great. Okay. Can you name the 15 divisions of Bible history? No. That's a good answer. All right. That is a good answer. So you got it right. Think about and get this in your head. All right. Where does the Bible begin? It begins with what? Creation, the next major event. Flood. Now, if you want to know, say antediluvian and post-diluvian, if you promise me that this week sometime you'll use the word deluve, you can say that, all right? The only time I know we ever use the word diluvian, some people have learned another listing, and so if you want to say antediluvian and post-diluvian, just make sure you use that word. We're trying to get this down so Harrison can learn this, okay? That's really what this is all about. So flood, or pardon me, creation, flood, then what? Patriarchs, then what? Egyptian bondage, then what? What? Exodus, then what? Conquest of Canaan, then what? Judges, kings, divided kingdom, united kingdom, divided kingdom, Judah alone, captivity, restoration, between the testaments, Jesus Christ and the church. That's the hardest one, all right? That's the hardest. Okay, here's what we're going to do. Online at the church's website is a place you can take this test. So just go to our website and down, I'm assuming, Lindsay, it's down near the bottom of the page. I haven't looked at in the last week or so. Where's Lindsay? Okay. It's on the right-hand side over there. So I don't know, what does it say? Says Soldiers of Christ. Just click on that and take the test. That's the way we prefer for you to do that, okay? Because it makes it a whole lot simpler for us to grade that type of thing. So when you do that, you will not get an immediate response, but you will be getting a response within a few days from the office saying yes or no. And so if you know you made a mistake, then just go ahead and take it a second time and do it. Because that's what we're going to do. High school and under, you need to find an elder. Now, somebody asked me, one of our older people, and I won't say who, but one of our older women in the church said to one of our elders, "Can I come to the elder and say it?" And the answer is yes, Nicole, you may, all right? And so if you're an older person and you prefer to go to an elder, that's really what it's all about. Any way you want to do it, okay? Except we really want to build in this program. Young people, hear me, high school kids, young people in junior high. We want you to spend time with these elders, you know. We want you to get to know them. We want them to get to know you. And it's not that we're just trying to make some real arbitrary decision that has no purpose. It really, really has a purpose. So find you an elder and say, I'm ready to do the prophet card. I'm ready to do the priest card. I'm ready to do the king card. Or I'm ready to do all three of them. And just say that to an elder. We are finished with the divisions of the Bible. Now, there are about three things we need to do. Number one, everybody take out an attendance card and fill it out right now. We need two ushers back here. We need some ushers really, really active right now. Pass them toward this one center aisle here. Visitors, fill out the welcome card and pass that to the front aisle. But wait just a minute. Give everybody time to fill out one of those cards. And just fill out one of the cards or one you brought from where you signed it over here. And then bring it over and then pass that toward the center aisle. The ushers will be picking those up momentarily. Second thing is, let's do that first, all right? Let's do that first. Josh and, let the ushers get, the ushers can get, okay. Bill, if you and Josh will go get the blue cards and get those ready, okay? Okay, the next thing we need to do is, do we have any visitors tonight who are visiting with us? Not members, but those who are visiting with us who need a visitor's book. Josh, Bill, there's a box over there that has visitor's books. Visitors, hold up your hand. We loan you one of these tonight, okay? And so just turn it back in, but there's a book that says visitors. There are two of them right here, okay? And so there are those two. And therefore our visitors, those are our visitors' books. Are there any members here who have not received a book yet? Are you serious? Huh? I'm so glad. I keep calling him Josiah, but Josiah's dad, would you pass out? Now, folks, if you've got one and you've left it home, tough luck. You got to find it. If you've lost it at home, tough luck. You've got to find it. But visitors, we really want you to have one of these. Okay, here's another visitor over here that needs one, back over here. And because you won't know what's going on here tonight, okay? We're a bit insane here, but our members, it fits well in the church. All right, next thing we want everybody to do, is to pull out your cards, open it up, take all the cards out. Take every single card out and pass it toward the center aisle. That's the next thing we want to do. Yes, there have been corrections made on the card, okay? The card, and so we want everybody to pass those toward the center aisle. We have new cards tonight, but wait just a minute until they pass. Oh, okay. All right. There's a visitor. Do you have one yet? Visitor's book, okay. All right. Up, step up. Be quiet. Be quiet. Just do what I tell you to do. Wait a minute. Does it have the Soldiers of Christ? It's got, take every quiet card you've got out of your book and pass it toward the center aisle, every one of them. Including the one with your name on it, all right? Including the one with your name on it. Including the scripture reading one, right? Pass your book needs to have nothing in it whenever you get finished. Have we done? Yep. This is what your book needs to look like, okay? Okay. Yes, pass that card in too. We've made some modifications, corrections on these, and so ushers, if you'll just take up all of those cards and you can go toss them whenever you're finished, okay? Okay, let's do this in a hurry, folks. We got a lot to do tonight, okay? Okay, has everybody got a copy? I need a copy. Okay. Now then, if you had your name on the other one, perhaps you'll be able to write it again on this one, okay? All right, here we go. Got that? Now then, somebody may have the question that says, but I do not have access to a computer. How can I take the test? When you leave tonight, Dan, would you hold up one of those folders that you can see over there? Dan McLeod, just want the thing you can see right there. Just hold those up. That has the test in it. It has three tests in it. It has the prophet test, has the priest test, it has the king test. And so you're on your own. We do it on the honor system. We know you could sit in front of your computer and cheat and get all the answers just right, okay? But that's not what we're trying to do. We're not really trying to do that. And so when you leave tonight, we'll have that back over here in this area. Now, does everybody have new material inside your book? Everybody have new material inside your book? Are we all on the same page? Okay. Okay, if your book doesn't have anything in it, hold up your book so Josiah's dad can be able to see it. All right, this whole section right here, all right? Okay, that's all the mechanics of it. I think I've taken care of everything, except we are ready to place the orders for the dog tags that has your name on it. And so does anybody need an enlistment and enrollment card? Okay, well, let's take care of that in just a minute. And we want you to print your name on that exactly how you want to have it on your dog tag. It'll have your name. It says Palm Beach. It says Soldier of Christ at Palm Beach Lake. So you'll be getting your dog tag soon. So we'll take care of that in a minute. Okay, are we finished with all of the techniques and everything? All right. Okay, let's get to the book of Genesis. You're welcome to look at the cards. I wish you would look at your Bibles. What you need?
The nameplate one.
The what?
The name tag one.
Not yet. We haven't taken care of that yet, okay? We have not passed out the enlistment card, so we can get your dog tag yet, okay? All right, let's get to the book of Genesis. If I ask you the very beginning words of the Bible, could you quote it? Quote it. No. Genesis 1:1. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Genesis 1:1. You know why you didn't know where that's found? Do you know why you don't know where verses are found in the Bible? You make two different actions of it. You memorize it, and then you try to associate that verse with it. That is not very smart, you know. And so, but if you always say the location of the verse, then say the verse, then say the location of it. What's the first verse in the Bible? Genesis 1:1. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Genesis 1:1. You know that?
Yes.
Can you say it? Let's all say it. Let's let this side say it. First verse in the Bible.
Genesis 1:1. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Genesis 1:1.
You're weaker the second time on Genesis 1:1. Okay, first verse in the Bible. This group over here.
Genesis.
Could you even hear them? How about you saying it again?
Genesis 1:1. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Genesis 1:1.
All right, we got that. All right. Do we know that verse? Yes, we know that verse. And I know, just so you folks don't get conceited, when you were saying it, you thought you were saying it so loud. Some of these were helping you. They really didn't think that you were capable of making it all the way through. Now then, if we get to the book of Genesis and just open up the card on the front side, let me just take a minute and show you the card. Now then, if you have not signed up to get a dog tag, there's an enlistment form. There's a white card for that's it. And hold up your hand if you have not enlisted to become a soldier. Hold your hand way up high. All right. And so you'll be able to sign up and get that dog tag tonight. Okay, we won't be getting the dog tag tonight. Sign up in order to get the dog tags tonight. Take a minute and look at the blue card. There's a lot of information. I told you the white cards were much, much easier. Actually, you probably know half of the facts on this blue card. I really think you probably, right now, you could do of the facts part of this blue card, I suspect you already know about the days of creation, or that you would be able to come up and give the, you know, what He made each day in some order. I think you would know a lot of the questions that are here. And so this blue card, we're calling it the Genesis card. It's really the Genesis Exodus card. And so on this card, down on the left-hand side of the card, you've got all of these questions. You open the page up to the inside, and you've got a whole lot of other questions. Now, you don't have to memorize these tonight. We're going to take several weeks to cover the books of Genesis and Exodus, so you've got quite a while to learn that. In addition to that, there are, as you go back to the front page, there are some key chapters in the Bible. If you're going to be able to use the sword of the Spirit and be a good Bible student, you need to know where the creation story is found. That's important. You're going to be talking to some individuals, and they'll say, "Well, you know, I don't, you know, come up with some question about the creation." You need to know where that is. You need to know where the flood is. You know, does the Bible tell whether that flood was universal or not? Does the Bible talk about how long it rained? Does the Bible talk about how long Noah was in the ark? Where on earth would you find that in the Bible? And so, what you have here. You have, look at the key chapters. You've got the Noah and the flood, the chapters that cover Noah and the flood. You've got the matter of the first sin in Genesis chapter 3, yes. And then you've got where Abraham sacrificed Isaac, where Joseph was sold by his brothers. You've got the burning bush. You've got the Ten Commandments. You've got the golden calf. You need to know where these things are found in the Bible. And so you've got Bible facts to learn. You've also got these key chapters to learn these things. Open it up, and you've got some key verse locations. In the middle of the book, you've got these key verse locations. For example, you need to know where the Bible said God breathed into man into the nostrils of man the breath of life, and man became a living soul. You don't need to memorize the verse, you know, but there are some verses it would really, really help. And we've not arbitrarily just said, well, let's make a hard one out here, and let's just try to make it really difficult for somebody to learn this. These things that are here are deemed by us as being really, really key verses and location. Now then, down at the bottom of the page, you've got memory verses. And this is the prophet card. We got three different levels. We got the prophet card, we've got the priest card, and then we've got the king card. So all we're passing out tonight is the prophet card, okay? And I believe every person here tonight is capable of reaching this level, reaching this prophet level. Just apply yourself. The whole design is to get every one of us to know this. Imagine that 2 months from now, eight weeks from now, that you know this much about the Bible. It's not an impossible thing to do. Now, whenever you know the prophet card, it will be online. It's not online right now, but it will be online until you go online to take the test. We'll talk a little bit more about how you do the memory verses. They'll not be online, but it's all going to be on the honor system and everything. And so please be aware of that. This is where we're headed. You know, 8 weeks from now, we want everybody to know these things that's found on this blue card. Now, somebody said, boy, that really, really looks hard. Well, I'm just going to challenge those of you who think you know a lot about the Bible. I want to challenge every one of you to try to get up to the king level. You know, I don't know if, you know, well, I'll just challenge you to get up to the priest level. So let's go ahead and start working on this. And then when you come back to the priest level, guess what you get? You got another blue card. Instead of having prophet up at the prophet card up the top, it has priest up at the top. And then there's a third card after that called the king card. And, you know, if you get to that level, imagine knowing three times this much about Genesis and Exodus. You can do it. It's going to be a tremendous challenge. Here's what we wanted to do. We wanted to make it so Josiah and Vivian and Harrison and these little kids can become Bible students. And, just one word of explanation. We may never explain this again, but so those who are preschool can have a chance to get their dog tags, etc. You see the shaded questions that are on the blue card? Those who are preschool. And so that's what they've got to learn. Whenever they get their dog tag, it will not have the ring of honor around the outside. It will just be the Genesis card or the Genesis dog tag. And so to get to that ring of honor around this, to get to the prophet level, you've got to learn what's on the card. That's for all of us. It's a challenge before you. It's really a challenge before. But if you're here every Sunday night and we work on it, do a lot of Bible drills, I think you'll really be able to become a real good student. Now let's go back to the book of Genesis. Genesis chapter 1, what happens in the beginning? Well, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. What was the earth like? Without form and void and darkness was upon the face of the deep. What did the world look like? You couldn't see it. So the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. And the first thing God said in the Bible is what? Let there be light. Wonder what day that happened on. First day. What did God make on the, what did God create on the first day? Light. What did He create on the second day? Well, God, after He had created the light, there is this world that's covered with water. There's no land. And so when in the beginning He created the heavens and the earth is covered with water. And so on the second day, He separated the land and caused the dry land to appear. Nope. He did not. I said that, Sue, just to see if you'd check me on that. No, I was wrong about that. The second day, God created. Give me a firm answer about what God created. A firm answer about what God created on the second day. What?
Sky.
Nope. Firmament. He created firmament on the second day. And I know the little song you sing, but He created the firmament. And one reason we do that is because that's the Bible word that is used there, and we need to get that concept. What did the firmament look like? Well, I suspect it looked like the sky, except when you read Genesis 1, and if you've been doing some of your homework on that Genesis, that blue paper that's out there to help you as you study through there, tell me about the waters, the relationship between the waters and the firmament. There is the water that is below the firmament. There is the firmament. And then what is that? There's the water that is above the firmament. Now, you can use your own imagination to figure out exactly what that looked like. But the Bible says that's the way it looked. Now, you remember when we've had creationists here and people of that nature that's talked about the fact that, you know, how the earth could have been like a greenhouse, and that all of the sunlight shining down through all of that wet water, all of that water vapor that's above the firmament could have created the around the entire earth a greenhouse effect. And that may explain why there's coal and oil up in around the North Pole and around the South Pole. Because if the whole world was covered with vegetation, and according to science, that's where coal comes from, that at one time the world had to have that kind of an environment there. And so that's a strong possibility. It answers another question in relationship to the flood. Where did the waters of the flood come from? He opens up the windows of heaven. And so all of that water that was there at one time is no longer there. Because when we look at the sky, we don't see a mantle of water outside the firmament, outside the sky. It's not there any longer. And so when we get over to the time of the flood, God opens the windows of heaven, and no longer do you have the waters that's above the firmament. So you've got that kind of thing. Third day, God creates the dry land. He causes all of the dry land to appear, and He creates what on the third day? Is that question on this card, what He made each day? All right, He made sea, land, and vegetation. Need to use the words here. I've taught it so much, dry land and vegetation. But he creates the sea and the land and all of the vegetation that's there. Then on the fourth day, what does He create? Sun, moon, and stars. Now, that's the way I remember day four. Sun, moon, and stars, okay? You can remember it any way you want to. That's just a peg that I use there. The fourth day, what did He create? Sun, moon, and stars. And so God, when He created the world, separated the light from the darkness. What do you call the light?
Day.
What do you call the darkness?
Night.
Now, it's interesting. When you get to the end of day one, when you get to the end of day two, the end of day three, the end of day four, the end of day five, the end of day six, you have one statement that is made every time. The evening and the morning were the first day. Do you know how the Jewish people keep time? 6 p.m. the day before, as far as we're concerned. The Sabbath to them begins 6 p.m. on Friday night. Wonder where that comes from. Well, it comes from that creation period that was back there. And so God said the evening and that day, that night and that next day was called day one. And the same thing about day two, day three, day four, day five, day six, day seven. The evening and the morning were the first day. Keep that in mind. We'll come back and look at that key verse over somewhere over here. It says, God made the world, over here, key locations, page 2. God made the world in exactly 6 days, Exodus chapter 20 and verse 6. Not going there yet, but that's a key verse. Really, really need to know that. Now then, if I ask you, that if I ask you to what the word Genesis means, what does it mean? Genesis means what?
Beginnings.
Do you folks over here not know that, or are we just trying to let them go first? What does the word Genesis mean?
Beginning.
All right. And so we've got the very beginning. And so that's what the word means. So tell me some beginnings that are found in the beginning of what? If you say the world, there's no other answer after that. But so it's the beginning of the world. All right. What else? Pigs and dogs and cats and cows and horses. No. Beginning of time. Beginning of water, I guess. Okay, yes. What? Beginning of marriage. Beginning of what in the book of Genesis? Beginning of the family. Beginning what else in the book of Genesis? I'm hearing about 8 words. Beginning of everything. What a brilliant, brilliant answer. You said that? It just came out of his mouth. Well, I wouldn't claim it. I mean, that's okay. Anyway, it's the beginning of everything, right, Chad? It's the beginning of sin. Where does sin come from? Read about there in the book of Genesis. That's why it's called the beginning. It's the beginning of the revelation of God. It is the beginning of promises about the coming of Christ. It's the beginning of the Jewish nation. And it's the beginning of what? It's the beginning of the scheme of redemption, the whole plan that God had. So that's why that book has that name. Now, the next book after Genesis is what? Exodus. Let me see if I can help you. Wonder what the word Exodus means. Exiting. Exiting from where? From the land of Egypt. So the names of those early books will help you identify what's in it. Where am I going to read about the Exodus? That's not real hard, you know. Where am I going to read about the Exodus? Oh, where am I going to read about the beginning of language? Genesis. And so those are the kinds of things that are in there. I want you to drill yourself and to spend time. You're not going to be able to learn this just sitting in here. You just will not do it. You can get to the baby level, but that's not where we want you to get. We really want you to apply yourself. And I know some of you already are using this whole program for family devotions. What a great, great way. And, Sue, whenever, you know, instead of screaming about how bad Brad is driving as you go back and forth between here and Stuart, instead of fussing at him, just give him the Bible drills. And then the next day you can drive and he can give you the Bible drills and everything. But honestly, you have a great, great way to study the Bible. And you're going to learn something. And I promise you, you'll be unbelievably thankful someday for every amount of energy that you spend in doing this. Day 4, sun, moon, and stars. Day 5, fish and birds is what we have here. Now, the way I do it is because, how do you spell fifth? F-I-F. It's got 2 F's in it. And so the way I've stuck it in my head, what did he make on the fifth day? Fish and fowls, okay? And that's the way I remember it. But if you want to, and the answer we're going to give in here is fish and birds. And any time I say fish and fowls, I'm wrong, okay? Anytime I say fish and fowls, I'm wrong. It's fish and birds. Day 6, what did he make? Animals and man. I think we ought to say it in that order. That's the order in which he made these things. Now then, what did God make Adam out of? Dust out of the dust of the ground. The Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground. What was Adam's name? Adam. All right. I just asked that. Chad, you got that one? What was Adam's name? Did you get it? Work on it. All right. Okay. No, you've got what? Here's one for you. What does the word Adam mean? All of a sudden, I'm deaf. Adam means man. And by that, we mean people. Are you aware? Genesis chapter 5, he created Adam and Eve, male and female, and he called them Adam. He called them man. Adam's really not what his name is. That's what he is. It's like somebody sitting back here on the sound system. Johnny, what's your middle name? Boy. Johnny Boy Davis. Now, that's his name, I guess. That's really your name. But that is what he was. It's probably Johnny Man Davis now. But I mean, Johnny Boy Davis. I knew a kid in New Zealand among the Polynesians there, and the only name the boy had was Boy. That was his name. Up in Samoa, this is rather interesting, where you know English is not their language. They would just take an interesting English word and name their child by that name. I met a little girl there, and her name was Oxygen. Guess where her mom worked? The hospital, all right? And so she heard this word Oxygen down there at the hospital, and she said, I think that's what I will name my child. And so that's weird how some people get their names in relationship with it. By the way, there was another child there, and this is weird, and it's not on the final test, but they named this child Not Right. He's not right. He's not right, okay? Isn't that an odd situation? But God created Adam. Now then, if I ask you the Hebrew name, if I ask you to say Adam's name in Hebrew, could you say it? Would you like to guess what it is? Adam. Adam. And so I guess, you know, if he called their name Eve, Adam's name was Adam, and Eve's name was Eve Adam. By the way, do you know the shortest poem that's ever been written is called Fleas? Adam had 'em. Okay. I didn't think anybody would appreciate that, and I don't know if they did. All right. All right. That, by the way, is not on the final test to get into heaven. Okay. Just thought I'd throw that out there just so you try to keep your attention anyway. All right, now then, we've got those facts that we know about the creation. Question, what else did God make out of the dust of the ground? You've been doing your homework, been reading through the book of Genesis? Some of you obviously have. He created all of the animals out of the dust of the ground. You don't get that in Genesis 1. You got to get to Genesis 2. But before you get there, he created all of the animals out of the dust of the ground, including the birds, yes, created all the animals. First man's name was Adam. Adam was made from dust. First woman's name was Eve. By the way, what does the word Eve mean? If Adam means man, mankind, what does the word Eve mean? What? Living. He named her living because Eve was the mother of all of the living. When we start talking about Cain getting a wife, if he married a woman who was alive, where did she come from? From Eve, the mother of all the living. Okay, we'll deal with that when we get over to Cain and Abel. The first home you put them in was where?
Garden of Eden.
Garden of Eden. Tell me everything you know about the Garden of Eden. It was perfect. It was a paradise. Any trees in it? Every tree. Would you tell me two kinds of trees that were in the garden that the Bible mentions? In the middle of the garden, he put two trees. One of them was the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. The other was tree of life. Now then, if I eat from an apple tree, what will I get? Apples. If I eat from an orange tree, what will I get? Oranges. If I eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, what do I get? The knowledge of good and evil. If I eat from the tree of life, what do I get? I get life. So God's got the garden. In your imagination, you got the garden planted. Where are those trees to be found?
In the middle.
Right in the middle of the garden. Now then, God says to Adam and Eve in relationship to that garden, of every tree thou mayest freely eat. Cannot believe that didn't... Oh, that's not a prophet member verse, okay? It's a little bit later. Of every tree thou mayest freely eat, except which tree? The tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Were they allowed to eat? Did they have a right to eat of the tree of life? It was there. There were all of these trees in the garden, and they were allowed to eat of every tree in the garden except one. And that is the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Now, if you think, well, I wonder if they ever ate of it. Let me ask, what would you have done? If you'd been in there and here's all of these trees, but here is that special tree, surely you eat dessert first. I mean, I had the meanest mama on earth. She wouldn't let me eat dessert first. You know, you got to clean your plate. You know, and think of all those starving kids in China. I don't know what your mama told you about, you know, people starving. You got to eat your food because they're starving. That never made any sense to me. When I was in India, I talked to one of the Indian brothers that were there, and the American missionary, the wife that had been there, had taught him he ought to eat everything that's on his plate because of the starving people there are in India. Well, in India, there's a whole place where that church was found down in some miles away, and there's no water down there. And I told Thomas, if you got to clean your plate because those people don't have any food, don't you have to drink all the water that's up here? Made a lot of sense to me. I don't know how you felt about that, but that's sort of an interesting concept. But they had access to the tree of life. And so whenever you got a little bit later, and there is that angel that's put outside the garden, why is that angel there? To keep them away from what?
Tree of life.
Tree of life. Because if you eat of the tree of life, what are you going to get? Where's the tree of life right now? Nope, not right now. Where's the tree of life right now? In the Bible. That's good. That's better than. Where is the tree of life right now? Book of Revelation. Did that give you a clue? In the midst of the paradise of God, it awaits us in heaven. That's a later card. We're not to the Revelation card yet, okay? We're not to that. But that's where the tree of life is. It's no longer in the garden. Now then, what else we know about the garden? And tell me about the rivers that came out of the Garden of Eden. Four of them. Actually, it was one that divided into four. Do you know the names of any of those rivers? Is the word Tigris found in the Bible? In the margin, but not in the text itself. But there is that other river that's mentioned there, and that's the river Euphrates, which gives us some indication about where the Garden of Eden might have been. But you go over there, and you don't find one river that becomes four rivers, and one of them flows down to the land of Egypt, do you? No, you go over there today and try to find where the Garden of Eden was, you wouldn't find it. Well, wonder what has happened on this earth that might keep individuals from finding where there was that one river that came out of the garden and then became four rivers. Is there anything that's in the Bible that might have kept... That's the flood, whenever the whole foundation of the earth was shaken. That's why that configuration is not there. The flood came. When we get to the flood, we'll talk about how the fountains of the deep were broken up. Tremendous turmoil, and whenever that great, great flood came. Okay, we've got about 2 minutes. Any question about any part of Genesis that we've covered so far? Any question? Josh, if you'll take the Bible quiz and just put them back over here. And Mike, see if you can find a collection basket, one of the collection baskets just to put on the table. We're asking $10 for the book and for the dog tag and for all of these other tags. These things are really expensive. And when you start talking about, folks, I never dreamed we'd have such interest in this. You don't know how excited I am, and I hope that you're enjoying the studying of it. And it's going to be a good time together. But think about the fact that you already know almost everything that's on the front of the prophet card. Isn't that amazing? So whenever you look at this card and there are 60 facts on this card, you think, will I ever be able to learn all of that? Well, the answer is yes, you will. All right? Visitors, just when you leave tonight, just leave your visitor's book back there on that back table. There's a box back there, I think, just says... Put that in. Any questions at all about anything? I want us all to stand. Where's Gary Friedley? Gary wanted us to sing a song, and I want us to sing it. We'll sing first verse and last verse. Let's all stand together and then sing like you mean it, okay? The name of the program is Soldiers of Christ Arise. Oh, no, one other thing. Papyrus. Do you know what papyrus looks like? This is papyrus, okay? Hang on a minute. You got to see papyrus, okay? You got to see papyrus. Hang on a minute, Gary. I got this. Just take those walking down the aisle and spread them out, okay? Okay, there we go. Just let everybody see it. If you want to see what papyrus looks like, this is papyrus from Egypt. Marion Holland brought this back to me. If you want to see what papyrus really looks like, please do not take this home. I'm going to put it on the table. If you look at it carefully, you can see where it's been split and where the reeds have been laid. You look on the backside. If you look carefully, you can see they're laid in the other direction, and they painted on it. So be careful with this. This is real papyrus that the New Testament was written on from the very beginning. So that'll be back there at the back. And I'm sorry I didn't. Chad, would you take this and put it on the table back there? Let's sing together, and after the end of that verse, just put it on the middle table back there, okay? And if you've got a stalk of papyrus, just carry that with you and lay it on the table back there, unless you want to go home and plant it.